St. John chapter 17. And I want you to notice verse 1 down through verse number 4. St. John chapter 17, verse 1 down through verse number 4. It says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." I want to speak for a few moments on this subject. Let's follow Christ's example. Let's follow Christ's example. Let's get some help. Father, we want to thank you for how you have invaded our service once again. Father, you have infused this service with your presence. And Father, even though we don't see a glory cloud come down, Father, we know that you're here. We're so thankful today that we can sense your presence. And oh God, I pray in a mighty way that you would have your way in the service once again. Father, thank you for how you have spoken to our hearts through song. Now we pray that you will use this message to also challenge us and speak to our hearts once again. Save any that's lost in this building. And Father, help all of us that are saved to determine that we want to follow Christ's example, because he is the ultimate example. Have your way. Do what you desire to do once again, and we give you the praise, the honor, and I promise the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you had to pick one example from the Bible that you need to follow, of course, it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our ultimate example. You could pick other examples out of the Word of God, and you could follow them like the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." He's a tremendous person to follow, but the last time I checked, Paul wasn't perfect. I see Paul doing some things that I would not classify as being perfect. And I could delineate one or two of them today, but I won't. We could look at, say, the life of Joseph, and we could say, boy, what a tremendous example to follow. But yet I can see one thing, maybe even two, depending on how you look at it, that I said, okay, well, maybe he had a little something going on here. We could follow the life of the Apostle Peter. And, well, you know, there's several things that were going on there. But he was still a tremendous example to follow. But there is one that we can follow. And I will echo the words of Pilate. Pilate said, "I find no fault in him at all." Thank God there's no fault in Jesus. We can follow him, every aspect of his life. And our Lord Jesus in St. John chapter 17, this is really his high priestly prayer, as we call it. He is facing impending death. He's about to go to the cross. And there's something that he did here in John chapter 17, something that he stated that was a part of his life and that will be a part of his life that we ought to emulate here today. Well, what did he do? Number one, he glorified God with his life. He glorified God with his life. St. John 17, verse number 4. Jesus said, as he's speaking to the Father, he said, "I have glorified thee on the earth." The word glorified here, as Jesus used it, is past tense. Look at it. He said, "I have glorified thee." In other words, he's speaking past tense. He's looking back on his earthly life, and he's seeing what he has done in relationship to the Father. And he said, "I have glorified thee." That word literally means to magnify, to honor. It means to make glorious. Jesus brought glory to the Father while he was on the earth. He glorified God with his life. Let's follow Christ's example today. As Sister Lily was singing the song, and all that Jesus had done for us, hey, I couldn't help but just let the tears. I sat up and I said, okay, I'm not going to cry today. I'm not going to cry. But I just couldn't help it. And by the way, I'm still fighting them back now. Because where would I be if it wasn't for Jesus today? Thank God for him. Yes, our life would be down a path and a road that would not be good even if I was alive. I might be dead now, burning in hell. Thank God for Jesus. How could I not but with these few measly years that I have that are just like vapor upon the earth, how could I not take that and glorify God with my life? How dare me spend my life on myself? I've got to glorify him. Glorify him. Let's follow Christ's example. We should want to glorify God while we are living in this life. Jesus, our ultimate example, could look back on his life and he said, Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. That means that we ought to glorify him. Every aspect of our being ought to be about glorifying the Lord. Our words, the words that come out of our mouths should be used to glorify God. Our lives should magnify him. Why do we live clean and holy, righteous lives before God? There are a few reasons, but the main reason is that we want to glorify God with our lives. That's what we should be doing. We ought to follow Christ's example. We should want God to get the glory out of our lives. God said of Jesus, he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus admonishes us. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Why do we live the life that we live, as I've already told you? So that God can get the glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, it says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." I want to ask you a thought-provoking question today. A thought-provoking question. Can God trust you with his glory? I want you to let that resonate and marinate in your mind. Can God trust you with his glory? Do you know, as I have been preaching, we've been going deeper in some messages, and as I said, and in some messages will be used to challenge us, and other messages may be used to rebuke us, but even in the rebuking is so that God can bless us in the latter end, as the scripture teaches us. Can he trust you with his glory? See, I want God's blessings flowing on all of our lives, but one thing I have found that if we do not give him the glory for everything in our lives, then he won't give us the things that we so desire. But when we give him the glory, he gives us more and he gives us more. And when he gives us the glory, we give him the glory. That's what he wants out of our lives. And the more we learn how to give God the glory, the more he will bless our lives, because you say, "I can trust him with my glory. I can trust her with my glory. She won't take it for herself. He won't take it for himself. I can trust them. They will deflect the glory back to me." And that's what God wants, because he needs to be glorified. And when he is glorified, others will want to come to him. Look with me in Acts chapter 12. We're coming back here, but look with me in Acts chapter 12. Because if we don't give him the glory, then he can take away that which we have. Notice Acts chapter 12. Notice Acts chapter 12. Some people could have lived longer lives. I really believe this. But the reason why they didn't live longer lives and didn't make it into their 50s, and some didn't make it into their 60s, and some didn't make it into their 70s, and some didn't make it into their 80s, and some didn't even make it into their 40s, is because they used their lives for themselves and did not give God the glory in their lives. Notice in Acts chapter number 12, notice verse 21 down through verse 23. It says, "And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel," oh, he was dressed nicely, "sat upon a throne," oh, he had a position, "and made an oration," that's a speech. Oh, he probably had a silver tongue orator. Notice verse number 22. And the people gave a shout. That word gave literally is in the linear sense. It did not mean that they just gave one shout. It meant that what I'm about to read, they shouted, and then they shouted, and then they shouted. In other words, they kept on saying this. Watch this. Saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. So what had happened, and it wasn't like, see, if they had just said it one time, God would not have done anything, because you can see others in scripture. For example, Paul and Barnabas, they thought that they were gods. And there were times when you would go to certain locations and you've seen it in their lives where they would think that this person's a god. And so they'll call them Mercurius in scripture. And so, but the thing is, they would say, hey, nah, we're men just like you are. They didn't receive the glory. But now this man, Herod, he was there, arrayed on a throne, giving a speech, an oration. Then all of a sudden, they said it's the voice of a God and not of a man. And in unison, they begin to say it's the voice of a God and not of a man. It's the voice of a God and not of a man. It's the voice of a God and not of a man. And that God is saying, when are you going to give me the glory? Look at the next verse. Since he didn't. And immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Could you imagine if you were there that day and this man did not give God the glory, and all of a sudden his body was covered and eaten by maggots right there in the front of everybody? One thing about God, God will share his glory with no man, the scripture teaches us. He wants us to give him the glory. And if we learn that, hey, everything that we are is because of God. Everything that we have is because of God. Everything that we do and accomplish is because of God. Then we don't want to take the glory for ourselves. We want to give the glory to God Almighty. Let me give you a scripture. My Bible says, the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Watch this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, all of these things that I'm doing, these missionary journeys that I'm doing, these people that I'm winning to Christ, these churches that are being established, the scriptures that are being written, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, or because of the faith of the Son of God who loved and gave himself for me. The Apostle Paul was on a road that was leading to destruction, and the last stop would have been to spend eternity in hell. He was religious, but the Apostle Paul was not saved until Acts chapter 9. He knew the road that he was on. He knew the heartache that he had caused. And now how dare him stand up and take the glory? That's not the Apostle Paul. He realized everything that he had, everything that the Lord was doing through him, it was all because of Christ. Thank God that God sent his son. Let me ask you a question this morning. If you died right where you sit, do you know that you're saved? Do you know it for sure? Okay, so then if you know it for sure, that means that Christ lives on the inside of you as a believer. So everything that you have, all that you do, everything belongs to him. There's a song that goes like this. I won't sing it, but it goes like this. How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved. Yet you gave to prove your love for me. And the voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood, he has saved me. With his power, he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With his blood, he has saved me. With his power, he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Can God trust you with his glory? If someone acknowledges us as being good in any way, we should again deflect the glory back to God. He deserves the glory. He glorified God with his life. That's what Jesus did. But secondly, he glorified God when facing death. He glorified God when facing death. Notice, go back to John 17 and verse number 1. You do know that if the Lord does not come in the rapture, all of us in this building, we're going to die. Every last one of us, we're going to die. Everyone in this building, we're going to die. Listen, he glorified God when facing death. Watch John 17, verse number 1. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. You remember when Jesus performed his first miracle and they ran out of water. Excuse me, ran out of wine, grape juice. And so they wanted to turn that water into wine. They didn't know what to do anyway. And Jesus performed a miracle. Mary, who was there, she came to Jesus. You know the story. She told him the story. And Jesus made a statement. He said, woman, what have I to do with thee? He said, mine hour has not yet come. My time to be revealed has not yet come. My time is not here yet. But yet our Savior, he moved. And of course, you remember the story. Mary said, whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. And they sat those 6 firkins of water there, and he turned the water into wine. You remember the story. He said, my hour has not yet come. But now, on the eve of his crucifixion, he says, mine hour has come. But watch what he says. He says, the hour has come. Glorify thy son. Why? That thy son also may glorify thee. See, verse number 4, he was looking back on his past. Verse number 1, he's looking ahead to his future. And he said, glorify me, that I also may glorify you. Listen, we ought to glorify him when facing death. Jesus determined to give God the glory. See, we should want to glorify God while we're living. But even when we are facing death, we ought to want to glorify God. Do you know how you prepare for death? You prepare for death while you have life. So that means that all of us right now are preparing for death. As a pastor, I've seen people who have served God. And not only as a pastor, but even as a believer, who have served God and they've left this life with peace in their soul. And yet I've seen some who didn't go right. My wife knows who I'm talking about here. And I won't say this person's not a member of our church, never even been to our church. But sometimes, even as a pastor or even, you know, as a Christian friend, sometimes you go to the hospital, of course, to visit somebody. And I won't even tell you the location. But this person was facing death. And both my wife and I have talked about this, that they didn't face death well. And the person was in there the night that they died in the hospital, screaming, ah, ah, ah. That's horrible. Let me tell you something. You prepare for your death now in life. Oh, I know they have a lot of people doped up today, so you don't hear a lot of the stories like what you used to hear. People saying things like, don't you see them? Don't you see them in the room? Don't you see them? People screaming, it's hot! It's hot! We don't hear about things like that anymore. But listen to me, hell is still real. And it's still hot. And how we leave this earth will determine what we've done on this earth. And everything is going to have to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can leave this earth with joy in our soul, knowing that we have done what God has called us to do, and we've given him the glory for it. Like the Apostle Paul could face impending death, and he could say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, they've laid up for me in heaven a crown of righteousness. By the way, he even said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. That didn't sound like somebody who lived a life of regret. That person lived a life and was able to look back on it of pleasure and joy because he knew that he did what God wanted him to do. And he gave glory, God glory, throughout his life. Listen, all of us are going to face death. All of us. We ought to determine that when we're facing death, that we want to glorify God. In St. John, and by the way, here's what I'm saying. Sometimes, if you give God glory now in life, give him the glory. Serve him now with your life and give him the glory. Sometimes when facing death, God can give you more life. You remember Hezekiah? Hezekiah was only, I showed you from the Bible, he was only in his 30s, late 30s, when God said, you're going to die. Get your house in order. What if he had not served God when he was a young man? What if he had not served God when he was in his 20s? He would have died in his 30s. But he looked back. He looked back. And he said, God, you know how I've served you. And God told Isaiah, go back in there and tell him I'm going to give him 15 more years. He made it into his 50s. He would have died in his late 30s, but he lived to his 50s. All because he served him. Gave him. See, our life, every fiber of our being, what we do with our lives, it's either giving glory to God or it's taking glory away from God. The Bible says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Sometime God can give you greater life. I told you about a preacher friend of ours who's preached here before, and I can't remember the disease that he had, but he got a disease, may have been cancer, if you know who I'm talking about. I can't think of his name right now, but he said how he would go to church, and he said he was so weak, he said he would lean up against the wall and preach. He said, if I'm going out, I'm going out giving God my life. He would lean up against the wall, he said at times, and just preach. You said that's crazy. That's what he wanted to do with his life. He wanted God to get some glory out of his life. And by the way, God touched him, turned him around. We've seen him out, fellowshipping with him. I said, man, you look better than you ever looked. Said, I'm completely healed. Completely healed. Standing up in the pulpit, I guarantee you this morning, completely healed. See, Jesus said, he that saves his life, you keep it for yourself, you're going to lose it. But you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. Listen to me today. Listen to me today. You can get all of us in this building. All of us in this building ought to try to get as much education as we can. It doesn't stop when you're young. You should always be a learner. Always be trying to better yourself. But just getting an education doesn't end it all. You know where life is life is in serving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Giving him your all. All of us in this building ought to try to achieve some things in life. You ought to try to move up in whatever position that you have, in whatever company you are a part of. And you ought to try to work and get some things. But just to work and amass some things, but yet not serve God and give God the glory, you're wasting your life. You've got to sow your life. Give him your life. Sow your life in him. Jesus was about to fulfill what the Father had for him to do, and he was going to give the Father glory even in his death. Are you doing what God has called you to do? In St. John chapter 21, verse number 19, you don't have to turn there. But Jesus said something to Peter. He told Peter that he was going to die in the previous verses. And in St. John 21, verse 19, it says, "This spake he, signifying by what death he," that is Peter, "should glorify God." And historians tell us that Peter was crucified upside down because he said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord." See, he gave him glory even in his death. Peter made mistakes and he denied the Lord in his life. And sometimes in life, you can look back on your life and you can say something, I've made mistakes in my life. And sometimes you may get knocked down in life, but you don't have to stay down. You can get up. Sometimes you can look back on your life and you say, "I made mistakes in my life." All right, you've made mistakes. Dust yourself off and say, "By God's grace, for the remainder of my life, with his help, I'm going to give him glory through my life." And see if maybe he doesn't give you more life. Peter made mistakes. Determine you're going to glorify God in your life and in your death. Not 1 Peter, but 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse number 20 says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Are you serving God? Do you have a heart for God? Are you living for God? See, we glorify him with our lives, or we take glory away from him. We should want God to get the glory both in our bodies and in our spirit. Let me give you this story. I see it in the Old Testament. Oh my, how this fits what I'm talking about. There was a great image that was built up on the plains of Dura. There was all kind of music going on. And when the people around there in Babylon, when they heard this music, they were supposed to, the harp and the sackbut and all the cornet, all that stuff playing. They were supposed to fall down and worship that great image that Nebuchadnezzar had erected there on the plains of Dura. There were three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they would not bow to that music. There was a fiery furnace that was there. Anyone who did not bow down was supposed to be cast into that burning fiery furnace. Well, word came back to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar got upset when he heard about it, but he came back and with these men, he wanted to give them at least one more time. And he began to tell them something. He said, "All right." He said, "I'm going to give you another chance, all right? When you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, and various kinds of music, fall down and worship. Everything is okay." They were facing death. All right, now, what were they going to do? They didn't stand up and take the glory for themselves. They didn't say, "Praise God, we've got the power to sustain that fire." God might have just let them went right on in there and burn. What did they say? They gave God the glory. They said, "Our God is able to deliver us." They said, "But if he doesn't," see, they wanted Nebuchadnezzar to know, even if he doesn't deliver us, he still has the power to do it. We don't know if he's going to do it in our case, but he's got the power. So if we get in there and burn, our God still gets the glory because he has the power. Well, what did God do? They threw, matter of fact, If Nebuchadnezzar got so upset, heat the thing up 7 times hotter. They heat that thing up. The 2 men who threw them in, they got burned. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're around there walking around in the fire. Didn't even have a smell of smoke on them. And a lot of Baptists can't say that. Amen. Didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Praise God. And guess who showed up? The Lord Jesus. Walking around in there in the midst of the fire. See, when you give God the glory, somebody may threaten you. There may be impending death, but the Lord will show up every time. He'll show up every time. There was one man who was facing death, one preacher during the time, many years ago, centuries ago. And this question was asked him. He was about to be burned at the stake during the time of the Inquisition. And someone said, because they had to face it after him, and he was one of the first ones to go in. And they said, listen, if the grace of God is sufficient, raise your hand. They tied that preacher to that tree and put that wood around them and lit that wood, and the flames came up. And after a while, they said, a charred hand raised up out of the midst of the flame and said, while he was in the midst of the flame, the grace of God is sufficient. See, I'm telling you today, rather you go by death or by the rapture, we ought to always want to give God the glory. And sometimes when we give him the glory, that impending truck that was coming our way, he'll put a detour sign on it. This road is closed. And let it go in a different direction. Why don't you determine, like our Lord, he said, I'm going to give you glory in my life. Why don't you determine that you're going to give him glory? 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conversation, lifestyle, honest amongst the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. If you live for the Lord, you may suffer. You may suffer, but still give God the glory. 1 Peter 4:16 says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Jesus suffered. Yes, he did. He died. Yes, he did. He was placed in the grave. Yes, he did. But the power came. And on the third day, the forces of Rome couldn't keep him. The seal on the tomb couldn't keep him. The stone on the tomb couldn't keep him. Being wrapped in grave clothes couldn't keep him. He got up out of the grave. And the last time I checked, my Bible says he's been given a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He always gets the glory. Always gets the glory. He can give you a name if you learn to give him the glory. Let's determine that we're going to give him the glory both in life and in death. Let's bow for prayer.